You can't look at any of the proto-fantasies that I mentioned before, the Odyssey, the Iliad, Beowulf, and say that the fantastic elements are connected to a mourning for a past. They may be connected to tragedy. They may be connected to sadness, though it's hard to see how that works in the works of Homer or Virgil when they're connected to triumphs of various senses. Beowulf is indeed a tragedy, but no one suggested, oh, if only we could go back to Beowulf's youth or something like that. It's a very different thing that comes out of the Victorians. And then all the subsequent writers who build on that, and particularly the writers who follow Tolkien in looking at the problems of death and loss, are actually working in very, very Victorian themes, even though they're coming along much, much later. Nostalgia not only connects fantasy to childhood and connects fantasy to an imagined Middle Ages, it also can link up a present that's seen as being somehow unsatisfactory with a better past, whatever that past was. For Tolkien, for example, I think part of what he's writing at the end of World War I is trying to link up with what's called the Belle Epoque, which happened right before World War I, that beautiful flowering of culture and everything that then is destroyed in 1914 when the guns of August start to fire. And I think that it might be that one of the reasons that fantasy is so powerful now is that people tend to look at their own time period and wish for something that was purer, better. That doesn't mean I'm suggesting that this time period is any worse than any other one in the past, but that people tend to think that way. And either they idealize their own childhoods or they idealize some point in the past, the 50s, the 40s, the 1890s, whatever it might be, and wish somehow they could go back to that unrecoverable past. All of these works I've discussed in this lecture, all the Victorian fantasy, sets the stage for the development, after World War I, of modern fantasy in the person of J.R.R. Tolkien. He was born at the end of the Victorian age, he grew up in the Belle Epoque, and he saw everything idyllic shattered by World War I, and he then went on to become the greatest fantasy writer of the 20th century.
After listening to Lecture 2, a student posed this question to Professor Drought. Weren't people recovering medieval texts during the Victorian period? Let's listen to the professor's response.
Yes, in the Victorian period, you see really the first flowering of scholarship into anything that wasn't Latin and Greek. Basically, that's when medieval scholarship is invented. And probably the most representative people from that are Jakob and Wilhelm Grimm, who are two German brothers and scholars who went around collecting German folktales. And they found peasants, people living in rural Germany, and got them to tell their stories, and they wrote them down. They also modified them quite a bit.